This is Advocate Radio, and you're listening to the Lake Highlands podcast for Tuesday, September 28th. I'm Carrie Mitchell, one of the editors at Advocate, and with me today are Carol Toller, neighborhood blogger.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And Ellen Raff, neighborhood columnist.
Hi. Great to be here.
We are celebrating our official start of fall. We realized September 21st was the official start of fall, but it's so nice outside we couldn't stay in the office. We're podcasting live from White Rock Coffee on Northwest Highway in Ferndale. So if you hear some ambient noise in the background, the darling blonde-headed children running around, as well as some good music and coffee making going on, that's why. We're going to start today by talking about something Carol posted on the blog Monday morning, which was that Lake Highlands Plaza is apparently under contract. Carol, tell us more about that.
Yes, the shopping center that was foreclosed upon at the corner of Walnut Hill and Idalia is under contract with a bidder. It was a bidder, Kristen Company, that made a very small bid in the beginning that did not rise to the level of the other bids. But they've been an interested party all along. But this was their first significant bid that was taken seriously and was accepted, and the property is now under contract. You know, part of the process of purchasing real estate is secretive, and especially against competing bidders, and so getting a lot of information has not been easy, but my sources tell me that the group wants to buy the property and sell off pieces for others to develop and keep a part. And there may be residential as part of it. There may be retail. There may be restaurants. There may be several different things. And, you know, it's under contract. It hasn't been purchased and finalized. But and in this market, I think it could take a while for any of that to happen. But that seems to be the path we're on. The church negotiators really thought they were down to the minutia in their negotiating, and so I think it came as a surprise to them to learn that the property was under contract. So, but the conventional wisdom seems to be that this company is capable of making it happen and has made other developments happen around Lake Highlands, and so it's expected that a closing will happen in the coming weeks or months.
Got it. So this is, when we talked in the beginning about who was interested in this property or the groups that we thought might be, there was always talk of three. Are you saying this is one of the three that has always kind of been interested?
I don't think so. I think it's one. I think there were multiple parties interested in the beginning, and I think that they were one. I don't think they have been a serious bidder up until this point.
Okay. So I don't know if you've talked to anyone at the church. Are they feeling kind of disappointed? What do we do now? That kind of thing.
You know, I think they're disappointed after having spent a lot of time on it. And as we talked about before, it's a project that even several years ago was attractive but too expensive. And so then when the value became doable based on foreclosure, it is something that people got excited about for the church. But, you know, the church's opinion is that they're going to do what God leads them to do, and mm-hmm. that could be lots of different things. And so they're real open to waiting on His timing. And so I think they have a great attitude about it. But I think, you know, they're human. The participants are human. And when you put that kind of time in and you start getting excited about what could happen there, there's got to be disappointment.
Sure. So we don't exactly know yet from this other group what we might see happen with the property. You mentioned there's some different possibilities that you've talked to your sources about. So it could be some residential, could be some retail.
I think it's probable, from what the way it's been explained to me, that there will be a walling off of part of the property, the back part of the property, and that some residential single-family lots will be developed, which will be accessed from the neighborhood part. And you no longer will be able to drive past the old drug emporium to get to Spring Branch. you'll drive into a shopping center and out again. And to get to Spring Branch and to get to the new construction, you'll have to access through the neighborhood.
Okay, so when you say the back end, is that the south end or the west end? Sorry.
That would be east of the neighborhood, west of kind of where Drug Emporium and Walmart were.
Okay, there we go.
So those lots will now be west of the shopping center instead of a part of the shopping center.
Okay.
And again, I'm talking about it like it's a done deal. It is not a done deal. But we're trying to figure out what the plans may be. And, you know, as we all know, everything can change on a dime, and it's all dependent on money.
Sure.
And so waiting to look at the money is going to determine what's going to happen.
Sure.
And even the plans to sell off parcels depend on the money from those buyers. So it's, but I do think that there are some home buyers around Lake Highlands who are kind of chomping at the bit to get access to those lots, and who think they'll be successful building houses on those lots. And that's, you know, as we've talked about before, almost anything happening at that shopping center is pretty exciting.
Exactly.
You know, growth and development and happening is exciting. And so I think we have to have, you know, kind of confidence and faith that they all do it right. And I think they want to.
Good. Great. Well, let's move on to a little bit more about real estate, retail-oriented in our neighborhood. Town Center, which is still kind of under the radar as far as what's going on there. But there was kind of a statement made, I think, in the Dallas Morning News recently that they hope to have something to announce within 90 days. So hopefully we'll be hearing something on that front.
So the 90 days was maybe calculated out to be after the wet, dry election.
Right. There's a wet, dry election coming up. If you haven't seen the October cover of The Advocate, then, you know, check your doorstop or pick one up at your favorite local neighborhood shop. It's the title is Dallas Drinking Problem, and it's essentially kind of the ins and outs of what this wet dry election is all about. One thing we found interesting is that from a historic perspective, this is kind of the biggest wet dry election since in the United States since Prohibition. However, no one in the city has really kind of raised much of a fuss about it. It doesn't seem to be, there's not much politics flying around about this. So we found that interesting, but also just decided to kind of break down what exactly is this election, what's the history here, what does it mean for our neighborhood, those kinds of things. And you can find that all in October's issue, and I'll make sure to post a link on the blog about that too. But yeah, the general thoughts from the real estate experts we talked to about Town Center and other kind of proposed mixed-use developments in Dallas that haven't really gained much ground yet is that those especially that are depending on a grocer for an anchor, which Town Center is, we're not going to see anything until this wet-dry election is decided, because grocers are still trying to figure out, do I want to move in, or if I do, what will this store look like? What can I expect? And, of course, it's no secret that grocers make quite a bit of money on beer and wine sales, and so that's kind of important to them. So there's some options here. We may see some interesting things come out.
I have two questions. One is grocers, I've noticed more and more, let's say that Tom Thumb over at Lover's Lane, they seem to be building a wine bar. It wasn't open when I was there. And then the Whole Foods on Central Market, sorry, what was I saying?
Whole Foods at Central.
Not Central, but Greenville.
Greenville,
on
okay.
Greenville.
Mm-hmm.
They also have a wine tasting area.
Right.
And I don't doubt that this is probably good for sales, but I'm a little bit confused as to the difference between that and a bar.
That's a good question, and one that we probably should have answered in the story, but obviously grocers cannot sell hard liquor. They can only sell beer, wine. That will, if I'm not mistaken, remain the case, even if this goes through because of state laws. So the difference between a bar per se, just a general bar per se, and a grocery store, quote-unquote, bar, is that you're not going to see cocktails on the menu. You'll see wine, you'll see beer. But But yes, we have seen, that is an interesting comment, that we have seen grocery stores kind of expand those portions of their stores in very recent years. At Central Market, you can grab a glass of wine at the cafe, you know, at Whole Foods. That little wine bar there at Greenville and Park Lane is pretty swanky. And then at Tom Thumb, yeah, when they redid their new store at Lovers in Greenville, for example, there's quite a large selection of wine now. So this is something that grocers are definitely interested in, all the way from the little guys, the kind of farmer's market grocers like, you know, New Flower, Sprouts tend to be, to the big guys, the big players, the Tom Thumbs, who's now part of Safeway, tend to be. So don't think that this is not a huge question for grocers as they're looking at town center. It probably is. Though I haven't been able to get any particular developer of any particular development on the record saying whether that would make or break a grocery store coming into their development, and that includes Prescott Realty, which is developing town center. What else do you guys think about that? Do you think it'll matter in the whole scheme of things?
You know, when it matters to profits, it matters to development, and what the impact that the wet dry election will have on those grocery stores' ability to make a profit has got to have an impact on where they go. Because as the article says, and as Rick Womrie's blog a week or two ago said, there's so many options for these developers to go to all around Dallas that if they don't have an exact perfect situation in one, it's not even down to the neighborhood anymore, it's down to the corner. You just move to a different corner. And so they're going to find the spot that's right for them, or wait until the climate changes.
Right. So it could be interesting. But we expect that we will wait until after November at the very least to hear anything from Prescott about what might or might not be moving into the town center. Well, our third topic for today is completely different than the topics we've discussed already today, which is an interesting story that appeared in the Dallas Morning News this week about Mesquite ISD and the homecoming dance this weekend and the number of students who were turned away because of dress code. Apparently, the article I don't think said exactly what the dress code was, but both boys and girls were required to have a certain standard of dress, and for girls that included length of dress and how low cut the dresses were. And apparently there were some back and forth between the district and parents and students about this particular dress code. We thought it was interesting and thought it might be interesting to talk about that, considering that Lake Highlands homecoming is coming up and whatever festivities may be going on, and if the same kinds of issues are at play in our neighborhood.
You know, Mesquite is pretty well known for being very conservative about their dress code. And the article talked about that the administrators have been talking to the kids all week and making announcements about how seriously they were taken and what was going to be expected. And while we, as a reader of the article, might not have quite been able to figure out exactly what was expected, I don't know if they made it clear to the kids or not. But people were not allowed in based on short dresses and low-cut dresses for the most part. Lake Highlands does things a little differently. They have more of a collegiate style of homecoming dance where there's a theme, and the kids wear kind of a costume or an outfit based on the theme, as opposed to a party dress or ball gown or cocktail dress. We have other dances where the kids can wear those kinds of clothes, but and dress code does sometimes come up for that. But homecoming, per se, is a theme party. Now, there's just as many dress code issues on a theme party, perhaps more, as for a cocktail dress type of event. In fact, the senior class also has a toga party, which has some pretty significant dress code issues as well. Having chaperoned that one, I can tell you it was tricky. But for homecoming, the theme is, I think, neon nights. So the kids will wear, you know, kind of neon stuff and glow in the dark, and the lights will be turned off and black lights turned on and all that kind of thing. So it's a little bit different. And, you know, I like the way Lake Highlands does it. The kids go off to college and have already experienced what it's like to kind of dress up for a theme party, kind of I think it's preparation a little bit for college life, and it's more fun. It can be just as expensive to buy a costume as it can be to buy a ball gown. But I know when my son and his date were Pocahontas and John Smith, I had a tough time coming up with a John Smith costume. But anyway, I would have rather bought a ball gown any day or a tux. But I like the way Lake Highlands does it. And the other thing I think about Lake Highlands is that administrators have a great relationship with the kids. So you don't have as much of the dress code police standing at the door as you might have an administrator saying to a girl who she knows by name and knows likes to wear revealing clothes. She might say, hey, Jane, I hope you will, I want you to know that I'm going to be watching what you wear to the dance. And so I think that way it doesn't become, I think the way Mesquite did it, it became kind of a contest to see who could get away with what. The administrators every day were coming over the loudspeaker saying, you know, we're going to be so tough. And they all kind of giggled, I think, and said, what can we do? What can we wear? I think Lake Highlands has a better relationship between the administrators and the kids.
I was amused by the one of the comments on that article. Seemed to be from a student. I'm not sure, but he said he was 12 years in the school or in the school district and thought, what's the big deal? Everyone knew this dress code. So why is this a big story? No one should have been surprised. And I have to say, I feel a little bit like that. If you're a parent and you happen to have blessed your child's attire and, you know, and the school didn't agree, well, you know, they set the dress code. I have a ninth grader, so I'm not into this fray yet, and we'll see. And my son is at Richardson High, but I have to say that at our orientation, they did a rap session. What I mean is a rap presentation, like singing. I'm sorry, I can't do it myself. She thinks she's
a future
cutie
because
we can see her booty or something like that. So I was really pretty appreciative of that. I thought it was a great way to reach the kids and also keep hopefully people's mind on other things besides clothing during the school year.
You know, I also had an experience chaperoning a dance at the Freshman Center where the principal told me, the kids leave your house looking fine. They get, and this is for dances or for school, they walk in the door, they hike up their skirt, they pull down their shirt, they pull their sweater off their shoulder or whatever, or they pull their jacket off to reveal their tank top or spaghetti straps or whatever. And so I think what that principal was telling me, and it was a woman at that time, Jane Farmer, and I think she had a being a woman and having a daughter, had a different perspective. And she said they may very well have been fine when they left your house, but when they walked in this building, they were not fine, and you wouldn't have thought they were fine either if you'd have seen them when we saw them. So that's part of it, too. And that kind of gets back to having an understanding administrator who's got a relationship with the kids and the parents. I think Mesquite struggles with that.
Do you guys as parents appreciate dress code, or have you over the years as you've encountered various things?
I do appreciate it. I think that the less... Honestly, I've almost come to appreciate the idea of uniforms, although, you know, we aren't there in these schools. But in that, the simpler it is for the kids to know what to wear, I think that it almost is just easier for everybody. So that's how I feel.
You know, I really like the idea of dress code because I do think some of the parents and kids in the article were talking about that's what's at the stores, and I agree with that. If you go shopping with your daughter, that is what's at the stores.
It can be
it's
really
hard to find something that really is appropriate. On the other hand, I sympathize with the people who said that, and I think I read some of the comments to the article that said, my daughter took her dress into the administrators and they okayed it, and then when she showed up, they told her no. So I would be frustrated probably if I was a parent and my child's dress had been okayed and then she was turned away from the dance. Sometimes as a parent, it's helpful when for them to take the hard stand, because it takes the pressure off me. And I know that sounds like running away from responsibility, but when I'm in the dressing room with my daughter and she's trying to talk me into something, and I'm saying, they're never going to let you in the dance with that. I'm not going to pay for it because you're going to be turned away from the dance. It just gives me an out instead of being the mean old mommy. It helps.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, we're going to take this next blender as our cue that we've talked long enough. And this is the end of today's podcast. And I forgot about shameless plugs. Do you guys have any shameless plugs today?
I do. It's homecoming week. And
there
the band has a fundraiser this week. Their big fundraiser is selling mums. So all the girls and all the guys are buying mums for their dates. But they also put on a show called Varsity Review Thursday night and Saturday night at Lake Highlands High School in the auditorium. It's kind of a variety show of various acts, and the public is welcome to attend. You can buy a ticket at the door at Lake Highlands High School, and it's fun. The kids develop the acts, which always makes you just cross your fingers that there's nothing wildly inappropriate. But it's always a fun show, so the community's invited to go see that.
Oh, that sounds like, what night is that again?
Thursday night and Saturday night. No
Thursday
Friday night show
okay.
because of the football
game. Because of the football game. Okay, that's a fun week. I have just a tiny one. If I remember right, Max Hartman, who we've written about in the magazine before, he's a local from Lake Highlands, graduated from Lake Highlands, but he is now, I'm not sure if he's back in town or if he's still living in LA, but we did a story on him when he came back for an event as a crooner and impersonator, or I guess, I'm not sure if that's what you call it, but he is now in a play here locally. I think it's Betrayal. I think that's the title of it, but I'll put links on the blog post if anyone wants to go see that and see one of our own who is continuing to excel in his career. That's all for this week's podcast. This has been an edition of Advocate Radio. Thanks for listening.